From JMA Wealth, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
So better than they thought, eh?
Yeah. So we have been spending a little bit of time looking across the Tasman this week, and I think yesterday delivered good news. I mean, it's one of our largest trading partners, this being Australia, of course, and they just reported better than expected growth in the June quarter. So June quarter growth is printed at 0.6% quarter on quarter. Annually, they're at 1.8%. Market expectations were sitting a tad lower, 0.5% for the quarter, but there were plenty of pundits at around 0.4%, and the year-on-year expectations at 1.6%, so it's a definite beat. And I suppose to put this into a little bit of context here, Mike, there was do you remember all the hand-wringing earlier this year when growth for the first quarter was reported at 0.2%. Mm-hmm. It was revised up yesterday to 0.3%. And one thing the Aussies have been very good at over the last few decades is avoiding recessions. And 0.2% was just too close to zero for comfort. So they've got a long record of robust growth. Growth at 0.6% and 1.8% for the year is still below their historic trend. But look, some aspects of the result are encouraging. So the lift in growth was assisted. You could even say it was driven by a 0.9% quarter-on-quarter increase in household consumption. And that was the surprise for many Australian economists. And the other feature that I think we've talked about, Mike, quite a bit is the role of central governments in Australia. The government has taken quite a different stance from the government here. They've been spending. Now, that impulse is now sort of some evidence that impulse is now diminishing. Now, some of the lift in household spending can be attributed to higher spending on discretionary services. And there was a little anomaly this year in that the Easter and the Anzac Day holidays were very close together this year. So people went on a holiday and then they made the holidays longer because they could whack the two of them together. So you get extra spending on hospitality, accommodation. So you've got a firmer picture of the Australian consumer. You've got evidence of a private sector recovery. I think that's recovering. A little bit of a warning flag around private investment. That was quite flat. It certainly didn't help the Aussie share market yesterday, Mike, though. The ASX 200 fell 1.8%. That's a big fall. That's the biggest since April. And that they've got quite a few interest rate sensitive stocks over there. So you get better growth. It brings into question some of those rate cuts. Yeah. And their tech sector under a bit of pressure yesterday, zero actually, down 6.2%.
All right, good stuff. Now, tell me about gold. Are we just freaking out? Is the flight on?
It's a bit of, there's a bit of investment 101 this morning. We've been talking about gold hitting all-time highs. It's done that again overnight, $3,571 the last time I looked at it. Now, just to put this into context as well, gold is now close to 30% so far this year and over 43% over the last 12 months, a very substantial lift. And now, you often hear gold referred to as this sort of safe haven asset, which means that when investors get worried about, well, a whole range of things, they look towards gold. And there are a range of issues at the moment. And one of the things is we have this possibility of a lower US Fed funds rate. Now, when you get lower interest rates, it reduces the funding cost of holding gold, or looking at another way, it reduces the opportunity cost because gold doesn't give you any income. I mean, if you own it, it just sits there. And if you've got to store it, it even costs you money. So lower interest rates actually makes that less of a problem. There's also other safe haven fears coming from a whole range of different perceptions. You just referred to global bond markets. Yeah. They're being rattled by prospects of rapidly rising fiscal deficits. I think in the US and the UK, that gets people worried. Share market valuations, Mike, if I look at the US, they're getting a little bit frothy. And we can't go past that ever-present, the prevalent geopolitical risk. So there's lots of things there. The other thing is, Mike, is that it's now a lot easier for people to participate in things like gold because you've got these exchange-traded funds where you can, any retail investor can just go and buy some gold or buy an ETF. And, of course, the more ETFs you've got, the easier it is, the more of them are out buying gold, so it all becomes sort of quite self-perpetuating, really. It's not just gold, though. Silver, if you want a bit of silver, silver's up 43% since the start of this year.
Wow.
So the commodities, they're going off, Mike. They're just going off.
I polish mine, but that's for another day.
Good on you.
What are the numbers?
The Dow Jones under a little bit of pressure. It's up down 230 points as I look at it, just over 0.5%, 45,056. The S&P 500 was a bit stronger earlier on. It's now weakened off a little bit, but it's sort of flat. It's up 5 points, 6,420. And the NASDAQ up 123 points, 0.58%, 21,000. 403. Overnight, the FTSE 100 gained 0.2%, 9178. The Nikkei was down 0.88%, 41939, the close there. The Shanghai Composite down just over 1%, 3813. As I said, the Aussies had a shocker, down 1.82% yesterday, 8738. And we went down a little bit in sympathy. We were down 0.44%, 13,074, the close on the NZX 50. 5879, that's the Kiwi dollar against the US in the wholesale markets, 0.8977 Aussie. 0.5038 against the euro, 0.4371 pounds, 86.99 Japanese yen. Gold, as I said, well, it's now $3,574. And Brent, $67.57.
See you tomorrow, Andrew Keller, JMOWealth.co.nz.